It's what it's all about tonight is hearing. In fact, that was no coincidence. Seriously, that's where we are tonight. In fact, I'm going to be obedient. And while I'm doing that, you turn to John chapter 10. I really felt led to share this, and I know that was the Lord's prompting to say, well, do it. I was talking with Brother Steve just before the service also, just how I'm so appreciative of how the Lord aligns the songs every week, the choir, the orchestra, the hymns and everything. It just all flows together. Isn't that right? Aren't you blessed in that? And even tonight, Steve and I haven't talked exactly what I'll be sharing, but I do know that, and he knew that we were wrapping up today, this morning, in the Great I Am's, the statements that were there. And we're going to focus on one passage tonight in John chapter 10, of which we're familiar, about Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. But I want to look at this along with several things, but also fast-forwarding a little bit further beyond that about now today. We don't quite have the advantages we know of having Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the flesh and hearing His voice so readily, audibly, and walking with Him. But there's a great advantage to us also. And so we'll be talking about that, but it's just exciting to see. And so we'll get to one of these verses in one of these hymns we sang a moment ago, lest I forget, right? So, all right, John chapter 10, in an honor and respect of God's word, would you stand with me as we read? This will be a several verses. I told Heather on the way I did want to read these first 30 verses, so bear with me, be patient. It's supposed to be on the line, I think, tonight, so we'll see those. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's pause together as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, which is spirit and life. And through your word, you reveal yourself to us, that we might know you and follow your voice and enter into a relationship with you, because you are that door, the only one. You are the good shepherd, the one who's laid down your life for us, and you rose again and impart to us life now and life everlasting. Father, tonight we thank you that you're present here, because we've assembled in your name, and in fact you're everywhere. And we worship you tonight as we had through song, and even now as through your word. We pray that you will speak to our hearts. Give us the message that we need to hear, and truly open our spiritual ears that we might hear from you. And we thank you that your word will not return void, but will accomplish all that you've purposed it to do. And we praise you as we pray together in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As we did read this text I shared with you, I wanted to read it for a purpose that we might get the whole context. And in it, we think about the good shepherd calls the sheep by name. Also, the shepherd recognizes the voice of the good shepherd. The sheep recognize the voice of the good shepherd. The good shepherd knows the sheep. The sheep know the good shepherd. The good shepherd leads the sheep. And the sheep follow the good shepherd. Those were just some thoughts that came to me as I tried to summarize this text of Scripture here in about our intimate relationship with Him. And that's what it's all about. Back in April, I felt after some period of time, I had never read the book, had heard of it many times, and I felt impelled to get this book as a shepherd's view of the 23rd Psalm. How many of Philip Keller have read that? Others maybe? I'd heard about it for years and years and years, and I had never read that. But I went online and found the trilogy. And it's a 3-in-1 book by the same author, Philip Keller, who's since now gone to be with the Lord several years back. But wow, what a powerful, powerful book. And throughout that time, Heather and I have been reading maybe about a chapter a week and reading it out loud and just meditating and thinking about that. And how much the shepherd knows the sheep, and how the sheep know the shepherd. And I thought, as Dennis asked me Thursday, he said, Ken, could you preach this Sunday night? I've been asked to do a graveside service in Rome. Of course, we know you don't just hop up to Rome and then turn around and come back. And so one of our members' mother who passed away, and so the family went there and had the graveside service this afternoon. So I said, certainly. So as I began to pray and think about that, and I remembered, I said, now you're going to be preaching on a wrap-up of the great I am. That's right. That's right. And so he said, well, just however the Lord leads you. So as I thought about it, it began to come to me that this is the text that the Lord wanted me to share. A few gleanings from that book, only a few, but because it's so much and it's beginning just of the reality of what a true shepherd is, knowing a sheep. And the sheep knowing the shepherd. But some of these things I just wrote down that came to my mind are right out of the text we just shared. So let's just think about those. And also a great illustration that I read from another source I want to share on you. So tonight we're going to reflect for just a few minutes based on how a shepherd knows the sheep. And he calls them by name to follow him. And what does following look like? And a sheep follow, what is that all about? And how do we know we're truly following the good shepherd as his sheep? And then what that will happen when we really do follow him. So in thinking about that, I came across this illustration I wanted to share with you. I'd never heard of it, but found it. Sandy Gregory, of whom we'll give credit to. But it's a story of the remote employee. Okay, you got it? It's a story of the remote employee. Okay? Now imagine this. And I'll try to read this slowly where you can catch on. Imagine you are hired to open up an office in Anchorage, Alaska. Your new boss gives you a high-tech looking two-way radio, a policy and procedure manual, and tells you that you will receive instructions once you arrive, and off you go. Upon arrival, you hear your boss's voice over the radio saying, "I will communicate to you through this radio unit. But take note, our competitors, our enemies, also have access to this radio unit. But take note, they will try to impersonate my voice with false messages to thwart our purposes." Oh no, you panic. "Then how will I know if it is you or the enemy giving me instructions?" Your boss's voice comes back over the radio three ways. First, considering the situation, check every message supposedly from me against the policy and procedure manual. Since I wrote it, I'm not likely to ask you to violate it, right? Also, if I'm not talking, don't focus in on the noise, pretending that I am. If I'm not speaking, let the manual be your guide. Don't let any impersonating voice mislead you or your own overactive imagination. Second, since the manual does not cover every situation, you will have to get to know my voice. I know this will take time, and so I'm not likely to ask you to do anything radical until we both have some low-risk success under our belts. Remember, I understand the situation perfectly well, so I'll go slow at first. A time will come when I will be able to tell you to do some of the wildest things, and you will know it is me. In the short term, you must be trained through low-risk experiences. Third, over time, my overall purpose for your work will begin to come into focus. You will begin to see the grand strategy in the policy and procedure manual and the overall pattern of my true instructions. When this happens, you'll know instantly if what you hear through your unit is of me, just your imagination, or enemy misinformation. False instructions will begin to appear silly to you then. So take heart and get to work. After reflecting on this a few moments, you hear your boss's voice again on the radio unit. "Take all the money from the petty cash and give it to the next person that walks in. No questions asked." You look in the policy and procedure manual, and this is specifically forbidden. Besides, you know your boss wouldn't tell you to do something that risky right off. And also, there was a certain twang to the voice, an appeal to something different within you, and a plan that was not in the long-term interest of the company. So, even though you're on a hostile channel, you're beginning to have hope that you can indeed do the job. Now, I know perhaps we haven't heard something quite like that, but I thought it brought home the point. And guess what? I'm sure you picked up on it. The instruction manual, policies and procedures is what? Of course, the Bible. And aren't we blessed to have the written Word of God that we can read, we can study, we can meditate upon, we can trust God, the Holy Spirit, to bring its truths to life so that we might know the truth. And indeed, in knowing the truth, we will be set free from the false lies. Well, we have a good shepherd. We have a wonderful shepherd, in fact. And as we think about that, let's think about what it means of following Jesus, because I think that's what it's all about in our text here today. And first of all, the good shepherd calls the sheep by name. Do you remember a time in your life when you first felt or heard or sensed God calling you? Maybe you were a child. Maybe you were a teenager. Maybe you were a young adult or even later in life. But there was a time in your life when you felt that tug in your heart and perhaps in your mind, that thinking, that speaking that was going on there. And you unmistakably knew it was a call of what you later found out to be the Good Shepherd. You see, God speaks. The question is, are we listening? Or are we hearing what he's saying? Can we discern who this voice is? And that's so important for us. There must be a time in our lives when we sense him calling. Although I was raised in a church before I can even remember, although I went Sunday after Sunday and heard the scripture taught and over again, I remember a distinct day when the Lord spoke to me. And it was after a series of events, but on May the 7th, 1972, I'll never forget, on the back, next to the back row, Hillcrest Baptist Church in Enterprise, Alabama, the Lord was speaking directly to me through an evangelist. He was preaching the word, and it was on one side, the Lord Jesus was telling him the good news of the gospel, of that gospel message of God's love through Jesus Christ, how he died for my sin, how he rose again, he came to give me forgiveness in his life, and so much more than I could understand at that point. But on this side over here, there was sort of some mocking and carrying on. Do you really want to listen to that? What will your good buddy that's sitting behind you think? And just on. And it was a back and forth battle for quite some time. Until the end, I said, I don't care what he thinks or anybody else thinks. I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, an invitation was came. I told the pastor, and I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. May the 7th, 1972. That was true speaking and battling, spiritual warfare going on within me. You see, that's the truth. The good shepherd comes to speak the truth. And the beautiful picture there is in that of the shepherd and the sheep. You see, the good shepherd knows the sheep. He knows them by name. And the sheep know him and know his name. And there's an intimate relationship that begins at the moment of receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But there's many who do not know the good shepherd and who are not his sheep. In fact, we read that. There were those in this text that we read that were the Jews who did not recognize the shepherd right there before them. They didn't recognize who it was. And they kept on and kept on and said, well, tell us plainly, clearly, are you the Christ? You're the Messiah. Jesus says, I've already told you. I've already told you. If you don't believe my words, then let the works I do, let them testify of me that who I am. But, he said, the reason you don't hear me is you're not my sheep. Wow, they were not a sheep. They were among sheep, but they weren't his sheep. And the truth is, we know that today. There are many who are among the sheep who have come to know him, but that are not his sheep. And we still need to listen to his voice. Are we following the good shepherd? Well, the sheep do know the good shepherd. Now, the good shepherd leads the sheep. And it is our part to follow. And these are just the beginning points of what was going around in my heart and my mind over these last several days, and in fact, all the way back to April and beyond. But we call it discipleship, don't we? Being a disciple. What is a disciple? A follower, a learner. And it implies someone's teaching them to learn. And when Jesus came giving that invitation, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came calling people to follow him, and he called disciples. In fact, all people are to become disciples, because when he told them, go and make disciples of all people. Of all people, not just a select few. But when Jesus asked them to make disciples, he said, come and follow me. In order to be a disciple, he laid out the demands. If any man, for that matter, woman, boy, or girl, would follow Jesus, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily of death to self and follow Jesus. You see, Jesus is the good shepherd, and he asks us to follow him. Are we following him? How do we know if we're following Jesus? Is it just when we hear his teachings, perhaps even can repeat them? Can we say then we're following Jesus? That's part of following Jesus. Jesus, in fact, said, come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Be a disciple. Be a follower. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So learning of Jesus, yes, is being that beginning stage of being a follower, a disciple. But we don't stop there. For Jesus also told in John chapter 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That word for continue is the same word that Jesus used when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me. So we can substitute he that continueth in me. You see, a relationship with Christ is one of abiding in the source of life, the vine, and we're the branches. And the automatic result of abiding is fruit. And this fruit is not of our working, our doing, or trying to manufacture, but it's a product of receiving life in Christ and letting him live that life through us. And the result is fruit, which brings glory to his name. So if we're following the Good Shepherd and hearing his voice, we receive the Shepherd into our life who is life, and we are his sheep and know his voice, and he knows us by name and calls us to follow him. Are we following him? Following counts a cost. It's a great sacrifice. We must leave certain things behind and follow Jesus. In fact, until we follow him, we're going to stay the same we are. In fact, we'll decline and go the opposite way. So Jesus asked us to follow him. And the good news is, when we follow him, we're following the light. For Jesus also said, I'm the light of the world. And when we follow Jesus, when we are his disciples, we're not walking in darkness, but we're walking in the light. John put it this way, if we say or claim that we have fellowship with him, the good shepherd, the light of the world, the bread of life, all these seven great I ams, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So the truth is to know whether we're truly following in Jesus is that we're coming more like the shepherd who is our Savior in our very life and less of what we were apart from him. That's a picture of life. That's a picture of rejoicing and praising him. So if we abide in Christ, if we continue in his word, we're actually following Jesus because Jesus is the word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so we know that when we're following Jesus, we're following the Word, his manual, his instruction booklet, and it doesn't do anything contrary to everything else around it. So are we following him? If we're following him, we're wanting to spend time in his Word. We're hungering because he's the bread of life. And we know that without him, the bread of life, we have no life. Because he that has the Son, Jesus, has life, but he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. In fact, there's a form of life. The scripture says that having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. There's power in Christ. He's all powerful. In fact, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and he came to us as the resurrection and life and spoke to us and brought us forth from death into life, his life. And we have life now, and guess what? In Christ, we'll never die. Did you get that? Because we're in Christ, we have everlasting life, and we will never die. Oh, our body will sleep if Christ doesn't come back first. But our real, true life will continue on to the very immediate presence of Christ. There's no soul sleep. We will be with Christ, the resurrection and the life. I wanted to see that these hymns and more about Jesus when we were singing that a few moments ago. A wonderful hymn, and learned it many years ago. It came to life, but it continues to come to life. I didn't gets that before, but notice this one, more about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying, mine. Did you get that? What a beautiful picture. More about Jesus. Now, we do need to know more about Jesus, but even more importantly than that, we need to know Jesus. For it's not just knowing about him, but it's knowing him that makes all the difference. We can know the Bible from cover to cover, as the saying goes, and some even say the maps, right? Laughingly speaking, yes. But if we don't know him personally, we've all missed it intellectually. Because to know the Good Shepherd and follow him is to become like him. That's what it means to really be born again, to know Christ, is to become like him. In fact, that is the goal of discipleship. Beloved, now we're the children of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. And how are we pure? Through the word of God, through the blood of the Lamb, that spotless lamb that took all of our sins that we might stand before him complete, not in our own righteousness, which is of the law, but his righteousness was only a gift by faith. So that's how we're to live. We're to live learning more about Jesus that leads us to know Jesus, of what he has done and what he is doing. So we're on a journey. We're on following Christ. We are His disciples, and He's leading us along the way. Now, along this way, which is a narrow way, a straight way, because it's one way, we must follow. And as sheep, we know we can go astray. But praise God for that picture of the Good Shepherd who will bring us right back into the fold because He loves us. And He will discipline us. The important part is what we do. Will we cooperate? Will He agree to His discipline, His work in our lives to correct us? Because it's only for our good that we might be partakers of His divine nature, that we might escape the corruption that's in this world, and we might live soberly, godly, and fearfully to the Lord as we wait for His coming. So how are we doing? Are we no longer what we used to be? Are we growing in His likeness and following Jesus and His voice? Remember, there are many voices. Some of them appear to be voices of the Good Shepherd, and they're disguised in such a way as sometimes it's hard to discern what they are. But we know Jesus said the truth will be that which He instructs us, because He gives us the Spirit of truth. I know time is really rapidly moving. I said we're going somewhere, and we are. But today we do have a great advantage. Remember, I said that. Jesus is no longer here. We'd all love to see Jesus in the bodily form here, wouldn't we? I don't think one person is in here. There have been books read about that, about the God's portal. That's a good Christian fiction type book, and it transports people back to the day of Jesus and all, and going along there and everything, and they're transported back, and it's really a good read if you like to read things like that. But you know, we can't do that. We can't go through some special portal or time machine and go back to when Jesus lived. We can't do that. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe, have faith. You see, that's how faith comes, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, who speaks and continues to speak. Our point is to listen carefully and to follow in His footsteps of faith. So Jesus said to His disciples before He would leave, I won't leave you comfortless. I will not leave you alone as orphans. I will come to you. And He was speaking of the Holy Spirit, the great counselor, the great comforter, the Spirit of truth. He will be with us always. And our very body is His temple, which He dwells in. And He will lead us and guide us. So what do? He speaks, but primarily He speaks to us through His Word, which is recorded and written for us. And we also have those voices. Sometimes God does speak to us. And it may not be here, but the principles are here. And He asks us to do something. And it's in line. It never goes contrary to His Word, but it's very associated. Even the very little thing I meant a moment ago. I knew the Lord wanted me to read that. For some reason, I wasn't going to bring that up here, but He gave me the opportunity. When this didn't work, He gave me another opportunity. And I hope you'll look at that more about Jesus, line upon line, precept upon precept, as the teacher says. Some of you studied. All right, line upon line. Every word, Jesus said it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, our manual. We need to study. We need to read. We need to allow God's Word to be planted deeply within the recesses of our heart and our mind and our soul. And then when we are not actually physically reading, His Word becomes life and becomes a part of us. His life within us. So yes, we have a great advantage today. The Holy Spirit is within us to show us the way, who is Jesus. The way, the truth, the life. The path that we might walk. To lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, who's worthy of our devotion, our love, our worship, and to yield all that we are to Him. However, as sheep, sometimes we get stubborn. Sometimes we get bent out of shape. Sometimes we lag behind. But we must keep on pressing on and to let Him lead us in His path, and then we'll experience all He's planned for us to do. And at the same time, being yoked together with Him to carry out His work. He has left us here to worship and to work and be that witness wherever we are. Because He says, I'm the light of the world. But guess what? You're the light of the world too. Why? Because Christ is our life. You see, all that Christ is, He wants to be in us. Not being Christ, but sharing His life. That's the goal. Now the children of God, one day face to face, to share life together eternally with Him. So meanwhile, may we continue to follow And the way to follow is listening to His voice. And we listen to His voice through His Word by spending time with Him and not allowing this world to squeeze us into its mold. So, with those thoughts in mind, as we come to a time of prayer and then a time of song, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment of prayer. And you can pray at the altar. You can pray there right where you are. You can stand, whatever the Lord leads you to do. And let's just make some confessions to the Lord tonight, like we share tonight. Lord, You're my good shepherd. Lord, You are the one who knows my name, and I will follow You. Lord, I'm Your disciple. Teach me. Teach me the truth. And when we pray prayers like that, He will answer.